Going back to row 11 from earlier, Joseph was traveling today. Joins us now, the two-time and reigning Indy 500 champion, a 31-time race winner in the NTT IndyCar Series. Driver the number two, Shell, V-Power, Nitro Plus, Team Penske Chevrolet, starting 32nd, coming up on Sunday. Are you even traveling? Big day tomorrow, a couple hours, race day. How you doing?
I plan on sleeping tonight.
Sleeping the night.
Yeah. I don't know. We've had some late, long days, late nights, especially with the travel, like you said. So kind of ready to get locked back in the bus here and not go anywhere for the next 72 hours, however long it's going to be. Yeah, it's cold in here too, so I'm keeping my jacket on, but yeah, all good, ready to go.
We're hanging meat in the back, so it's fine. Yeah. Just your thoughts on getting back in the car, I guess, tomorrow.
Yeah, I can't wait. I think the weather looks really perfect, actually, for the weekend. In a lot of ways. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, pretty excited for that. Yeah, can't wait.
All right, we've got Kinsey on this side. I'm assuming we have someone. I don't see Madeline, but we'll work the microphone around the room. Go ahead, Bruce.
Bruce Martin, FoxSports.com. Joseph, these guys that are no longer on the team, they weren't just guys that you worked with. They were friends, people you were close to, people that you shared a lot of bonds with. And how difficult is it to see them leave, and especially under these circumstances?
Well, I think we got a lot of people sitting here today, it looks like, and you know, I don't want to disappoint or offend anybody. I'm here to talk about the race. I'm here with my team. I'm ready to go racing. I love this race. My goodness, I've been enjoying being here this whole time. I look forward to it every year, as we all do. So, ready to go to work with our group, and you know, proud of everything that we have done up to this point, and ready to go racing. So that's what I got to say.
Well, speaking of the race, Kyle Larson thinks you have the fastest car on the track. So what can we expect to see? What kind of charge do we expect to see? Because as Rick Mears says, you can win this race from any seat in the house.
I think he's right. You can win this race from any seat in the house. There's also there's no bad seat in this house. I like saying that too. You know, I love listening to where people sit. And hearing their stories, you know, there's just no bad seat at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And I think that goes for the starting grid too. So, you know, I like the challenge of coming from 32nd. I don't know what the day is going to look like. It's so hard to predict, but we do have a great car. My goodness. It's, you know, every year it just seems to be getting better. And, you know, I'm trying to protect that right now. You know, it's one of these things where every day changes a little bit at the speedway and you've got to stay on top of it. And Sunday's really going to be the day that counts. So we got to make sure we're in the right place for that day. If we can do that, then we should be in a good spot.
Bob?
Bob Hockers, Fox Sports. I mean, so do you come into this race? Are you angry? Are you frustrated? Are you anxious? I mean, what's your emotion?
Right now, I'm trying to remain what's the way to put this? I'm just trying to remain happy. You know, I mean, this is the Indy 500. I just said it at the very beginning too. I look forward to this time of year, you know, every season. So I can't wait. We're going to have a sold out crowd. We're going to have a sold out crowd here for the Indianapolis 500, as it should be. And, you know, to see all the people that show up and make this what it is, I look forward to that. So that's how I feel right now. I'm ready to go racing. I know I have a good car. I'm ready to, you know, work with my team and, hopefully put on a good show. There's no guarantees, but I'm ready to rock.
So has it been easy to try to be happy?
Well, it's a little cold to be happy today, a little gloomy. I think the weather's going to help tomorrow and Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, it's looking good through Sunday at this point. Nathan?
Joseph, as you're fighting from back there in 32nd, how do you approach that fight? I know that's probably not a place you've been too much in your career, been at the front a bunch of times each of these last several years. How, as you've been starting to think about this race and the 200 laps, do you approach trying to work your way up to the front? Do you have some benchmarks that you say, you know, by lap 50, you hope we can be here, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't have a plan at the moment. You know, I don't want to set anything in stone as far as, you know, markers or milestones throughout the race. I think we just got to go and, I know this, if we can get the car where it needs to be on Sunday, which is where it's been, you know, pretty much every day that we've been here so far, you know, just India is this mysterious place. Like every day, every condition is a little different. And I know if we have the car that we've had this entire month, we're going to be completely in the fight. And I don't know what that's going to look like. It's so hard to predict. I'm pretty open-minded on how this day is going to go. But we have the tools and the people to battle to the front, which is what we plan to do.
I know Doug has said, other people in the paddock have said that they believe what was wrong on your guys' car, yours car, Will's car on Sunday, that was found in tech inspection, wasn't any sort of a performance gain, and you guys yet dropped back to 32nd and 33rd. Do you think that the penalty that was dealt to you guys for the biggest race of the year was a otherwise fair penalty, or how did you react to when you heard you'd be dropping back from 11th to 32nd?
I just see a bigger mountain. That's all I see.
Next question. Who wants it? Nathan? Jeff? Wait for the microphone if you don't mind. Sorry. Thanks, Nathan.
You said you're here to talk about the race, but the race gets a lot harder for you when you have distractions and your team is seemingly in turmoil, at least from the outside. It feels like that. So your job got a lot harder from our aspect. How are you going to stay focused and block out those distractions and do what you need to do without letting that seep into your preparation?
Well, it's the same challenge as always. I think you have to focus on what you can control. That's the difficult part about this job. It's the difficult part about the Indianapolis 500 is how do you stay focused on what is in your control? And that can look very differently every year. There can be different stressors that push you. But if you can just get yourself to a place where you are focused at the task at hand, you know what's in front of you, you know what you're in control of, and you're truly just focused on that, then I think you set yourself up mentally to have the best day possible. And that's what we're doing. You know, we've got to just, like I said, get the car right for Sunday. You know, even tomorrow in a lot of ways does not matter. It's a last check, but Sunday's what matters. And if we just focus on what we need to do for that day, I think we'll make a good place.
And you can still win?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Let's go Tony back there and then Jack after that.
How much will you and Will talk about moving up from the back? Obviously, you can plan and say you're going to work together, but then the elements take over and the emotions take over and you can't control what's going on. But is there an ability to work together, especially with the hybrid, and maybe even start saving some fuel early if this does stay green?
I think it's hard to work together. We can certainly, you know, we can certainly not hinder each other. That's probably the best way to put it. You know, we're on the same team. We've got the same goal. We want to get all our cars up front. We want a car to win for our team, for our group. So we don't need to be hindering each other. I don't know that we're going to be able to work in parallel. It's very tough to do here at the Speedway. It's kind of, you know, in a lot of ways, you're starting in the back. It's every person for themselves. So we're just aware of each other, you know, and we both know what the game plan is in a lot of ways. So I just think trying to not hinder each other is more the challenge.
Jack?
Hey, Joseph. Obviously, you've got Luke Mason as a strategist. So what's made him the right person for that role? And I know you're a big fan of his anyway, generally, but obviously he's taken on something a little bit different for the race. So how do you think he's going to take on that challenge?
Yes. Yes, Lucas. His name's not even Lucas. I just like calling him that. Luke's going to be just fine. Luke is he's one of the most naturally gifted race engineers I've ever met. So I'm always excited when he's on the stand. It'll be no different on Sunday.
More questions in person? Lost track of where the microphone is on that side. Tony, oh, you have both up.
Yeah,
let's go back to Nathan and then work the other side of the room after that, too. Go ahead, Nathan.
Joseph, I know you've been traveling these last 24 hours or so to New York and back. Will told us that Roger called him in and talked to him in RP1 to deliver the news of yesterday. Did you talk to Roger on the phone, or how did you learn of what we learned about yesterday morning?
Yeah, I learned it on the phone just because I wasn't present here.
Did you have any input on how folks were elevated? Like, did they ask you what you wanted to do on your car? Did they kind of just say, hey, this is what we're going to do with the replacements?
Well, Roger Penske's the boss. It's his team. You know, it's a question for him.
Thanks.
Go ahead.
Joseph, I'll give you a break and give you a fun one. Is there anybody, with Kyle Larson being here doing the second double, is there anybody from either the IndyCar side or NASCAR side that you'd like to see also attempt the double?
Oh, so many. So many. Gosh, we could have a huge laundry list of people that should do it. I think Blaney really wants to do it. Obviously, McLaughlin. I want to do it. I think you could ask, the majority of the field would want to do the double. I mean, it's so much fun. It's just very difficult to get that lined up. You know, doing what Kyle's doing right now is, it's harder than it looks. And what I mean by that is just putting the program together. You would have a lot of people doing it if it was simple. I can promise you that. I think Kyle Busch has spoken publicly about trying to get something off the ground, and it was, and that's Kyle Busch. So it should seem like it's pretty likely for him to put a program together, and it was quite difficult. So, yeah, there's a lot of people that want to do it. I would love to see Blaney do it at some point. I don't know how he would do it in IndyCar. I think just it'd be fun to see.
And just a second question. So, with how this race has ended the last few years, I have a feeling I know what the answer to this question is going to be, but it's been some thrilling last moment pass with the way these cars are in the draft. Going into this race, is there like a certain time frame, like a certain lap that you guys feel like would be the opportune time to make a pass for the lead?
It's different every year. I didn't predict anything the first two races. I didn't know how they were going to flow. First one was, 23 was quite chaotic with the Reds. It was very hard to track what was happening until the very last moment. And then, last year, same deal. You're just sort of going off instinct. And it was a really big battle last year with multiple cars. I don't know what this year's going to look like. I think you just have to stay very open-ended, at least as far as your plan or perspective. They're all different. Maybe that's not going to be the case this year, what we saw the last two seasons. Maybe it doesn't turn into that. Or maybe it does. And, even if it does, it might look differently than it looked last year. I just can't tell you. I don't know what it's going to be. You have to be open to it.
Let's go Bruce and then Josh after that.
There's some very good drivers starting in the back and the rows in front of you. So does that give you confidence that you guys will all race each other very well? Or do you see that as a little more that they want to get to the front just as bad as you do?
Yeah, I think everybody is going to be of the same mentality. Everyone wants to get to the front as quickly as possible. So I'm not sure, I'm not sure how it affects me with the cars that are around me. I kind of look at the field as, it's you're against everybody here. And I think everybody's really capable. It's not like, hey, is the first half of the cars that I got to try and get through with the team, are they weak? I mean, I think everybody's going to be pretty strong throughout the field. You'll have some weaker cars, but I don't think they go in batches necessarily. So, yeah, I'm not really looking at who's lined up in the back to start.
And a question that must be asked, since Tom Brady's played such a big role in your commercial on Fox, are we going to get a chance to compare each other's jawlines?
I don't know that that's necessary, Bruce, but if there's a man for the job, it would be you. We should put you on that assignment. Yeah. We could get your camera out with your flash, and I think you'd do a great job. Let's put you up to that task. Okay. All right. We'll check.
Let's go Josh and then Jenna. Josh. Hey,
Joseph, how are you doing?
Good. Josh, how are you?
I'm good, man. Josh Aron with the Indy Star. Just on a human-to-human level, outside of the violations and everything, Will said that that's pretty heavy on Mr. Penske to just make those firings with people he has a long, long relationship with. In what ways do you hope to be there for him in this time as he processes such heavy emotions?
Yeah, I'm not going to comment further on the actions that have happened with the team this week, like I said earlier.
Jenna?
Continuing in Bruce's line of idiotic questions, the Nash sign out there,
yeah,
with you in the green hat, is that your real hand? It's comically large.
Does the photo look weird?
Only the hand.
Which one? The right one? Whatever one is exposed?
It's exposed.
That sounds weird, right? My exposed hand?
That one.
It's allowed to be. This one?
Yeah. It's monstrous. It's like
might be the ring. Maybe it's the ring.
Okay.
I don't know.
Should put two rings on.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. I need to, now that you said that, I need to go look at that photo. It's probably warped in some way. Yeah. Maybe that was a strategy, Jenna. We wanted people to be freaked out by my abnormally large hand and then visit the pop-up. That's what people should do. Everyone should come check out my abnormally shaped hand at our pop-up and buy some Nash merch. Butush. That was good. No one got to hear that. Bruce had a zinger.
A little heavy-handed, Bruce says. Also, abnormally large hand is trending on Twitter right now. Lucille, do you have a question?
So let's talk about the race. What do you think is going to be are you think there's going to be a lot of passing because of the hybrid or not because of the hybrid?
I think you're going to see a very similar show to last year. I really do. I don't think we're going to deviate much from the amount of passing or the style of passing, which is a good thing. You know, we had a really good show last year, right? You know, it still gets tricky with multiple cars in a pack. You know, if you're sitting three or four deep, you're working harder to try and look for a mistake or an opening. But, you know, the ability for the front group to pass, certainly the first two, to get through the field a bit, I think it should be a similar show. You know, it's a little different way we're getting there. You know, you have to use the hybrid now within either attack or defense. And so that strategy is different than last year because we didn't have that. But I think, you know, the ability to pass, et cetera, it should not deviate much from last year's show, which is a good thing.
Thank you.
Yep. All right, we've got time for one, maybe two. Ahead, sir.
And Joseph, I remember that 2 years ago, you said that you have a specific plan in order to go to the front. And I remember also that you said that you already know, your team already know the way to win this race. You already have in process this plan for this year in this specific situation?
Yes, definitely. I don't think the plan changes in a lot of ways. You know, the as far as how do you win the Indianapolis 500, I think there's no one formula, but I know of a formula that you can prescribe to win the race, and I don't think it changes starting from 32nd. You know, we know what we need to do throughout the race to give ourselves an opportunity to go for the win, and I think that's really it's not the secret, but it's just the formula, if you will. You have to give yourself a chance at the right time. Seems simple, but you know, this race, it's an endurance in a lot of ways. It's 500 miles. There's a lot that you have to calculate through. You know, the way you manage yellows, where you put yourself in the strategy, you know, when you're making moves, when you're not. I mean, there's a cadence to it, and we've done it before, and we'll try and do the exact same thing this weekend.
All right, Eric Smith, last question.
You spent years trying to secret hatch through here to celebrate with the fans, and you did it. Three in a row has never been done. Do you have anything up your sleeve for if you win on Sunday to celebrate?
I don't know yet. It's kind of an in-the-moment thing. We'll see.
Thanks for coming up.
Thank you.
See you on track tomorrow.